This is VOA News, reporting via remote. I'm Jeff Custer. The group of seven economic powers in Australia Friday agreed to cap the price of Russian crude oil at $60 per barrel, a move designed to limit Moscow's ability to finance its military activity in Ukraine. It also aims to prevent a spike in global oil prices after a European Union embargo on Russian crude takes effect December 5th. Details of the price cap are due to be published in the EU Legal Journal Sunday. Speaking to reporters at the White House Friday, U.S. National Security spokesman John Kirby said the White House applauded the move.
We believe the cap itself will have the desired effect on limiting Mr. Putin's ability to profit off of oil sales and limit his ability to continue to use that money to fund his war machine. Frankly, we think that the $60 per barrel is appropriate, and we think it will have that effect.
In a statement, the G7 nations said the price cap would take effect Monday or soon after. The deal was reached after resistance from Poland, which later formed an agreement with other EU members. Warsaw was hoping for a much lower cap to squeeze revenues going to Russia. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said Friday he expects around 60 vessels to export grain before next spring under the Grain from Ukraine program. Last week, Saturday, Ukraine and allied nations launched the plan to export $150 million worth of grain to countries most vulnerable to famine and drought. Speaking in his daily evening video address, Zelensky said the first ship had already left for Ethiopia with a cargo of wheat and would be followed by a second vessel. A third will be loaded with wheat destined for Somalia. After an almost six-month blockade caused by the Russian invasion, three Ukrainian Black Sea ports were unblocked at the end of July under a deal between Moscow and Kyiv. This is VOA News. The World Health Organization's Health Emergencies Director, Michael Ryan, said Friday the UN agency was pleased to see China loosening some of its COVID-19 restrictions, saying it's really important governments listen to their people. At a news briefing from the agency's headquarters in Geneva, Ryan said the organization was glad to see China adjusting their current strategies and recalibrating its response to COVID-19.
Everyone has suffered. We've all had to deal with restrictions of movement. We've all had to deal with having our lives changed. And frankly, it's exhausting. It's been exhausting for all of us. So there are natural frustrations. There are natural issues with that. It's really important that governments listen to their people when the people are in pain. And that we really want to see that adjustment happen and accelerate, but recognize that each country has to deal with an infectious disease based on their risk assessment, based on the tools they have at their disposal.
Protests broke out last week in several large cities across China, with demonstrators expressing anger and frustrations at China's strict zero COVID policies, which limited movement of people around their cities and at times from leaving their homes. In the southwestern U.S. state of Texas, victims of an elementary school shooting earlier this year have filed a lawsuit over the law enforcement's response to the massacre. Associated Press correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
School staff and representatives of minors who were present during the May 24th shooting filed the lawsuit in federal court in Austin against city and state police, the city of Uvalde, and other school and law enforcement officials for failing to follow active shooter protocol when a gunman stormed Robb Elementary, killing 19 children and two teachers. Authorities waited more than an hour to confront the attacker, who was inside a fourth grade classroom. The suit seeks class action status and $27 billion in damages for survivors who have sustained emotional or psychological damages as a result of the defendant's conduct and omissions on that date. I'm Ben Thomas.
As lava from the Mauna Loa volcano on Hawaii's Big Island continues to spew, residents are concerned about their daily commute, while scientists say there's nothing people can do to stop it. Mauna Loa erupted last Sunday, throwing ash and debris into the sky after being dormant for 38 years. Although the intensity of the eruption has decreased, the river of lava could still block Saddle Road, the main highway that bisects the island. The highway is a main traffic artery and could become impassable. And if it becomes impassable, an alternative coastal road is much longer and adds several hours of driving time to commutes. Mauna Loa is the world's largest active volcano and last erupted in 1984. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. This